Good morning. I'm Samantha Jones. We appreciate your presence at worship today. We welcome you in the name of Christ with enthusiasm. Let us approach the throne of grace and offer honor and homage to God. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are on your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KHCK Radio and to all who worship with us online at our website, ZionLeesore.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are in memory of Roy and Jane Trimbo, sponsored by Mary Trimbo. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled Confidence in the Future by Pastor Bill. During the morning worship service this morning, we will be honoring Zion veterans. Whether you served in time of war or peace, in the reserves or active military, we want to say thank you. During the month of November, the Ruth Circle will be collecting a special offering for the LSS Crisis Nursery, and encourages everyone to participate. The offering can be put into the plates or left in the office during November. Checks should be payable to Ruth Circle. Cash should be in an envelope marked Ruth Circle. Kate Henge Greitz is here at Zion to speak briefly about the Lutheran Social Service Crisis Nursery. Pastor Bill will be hosting a hymn fest this morning for the confirmation students and anyone who loves to hear and sing music. Join us at 10:15 in the Fireside Room for a morning of joyful music. Zion Casserole Dinner will be held on Wednesday, November 19th from 5 to 6:30. The Zion Fellowship is asking for donations of food and workers for the casserole supper. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the entryway. During the month of November, we will hear from members of our church family about why they serve, what Zion means to them, and what their hopes are for our congregation. We will commit our gifts to each other for the coming year and worship on November 23rd. The Leesore Ecumenical Thanksgiving Service will be held on Tuesday, November 25th at 7 p.m. at the First Lutheran. The Thanksgiving offering will go mainly to the Leesore food shelf. Please join us to give thanks and praise to God. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps us keep this worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person.
Good morning. The Reverend Brian Shapiro wrote Dream God's Dream for a youth retreat in 1991. The life and work of the Reverend Martin Luther King inspired the lyrics. Brian observes, "I wanted to remind the youth that Martin's dream was actually God's dream." And that's where this song really came from. The challenge, of course, is for us all to do what's ours to do to make sure that the dream doesn't just remain a dream. It needs to become reality, and the way that happens is in and through the lives of those who have been touched and energized and committed to the spirit who gave birth to the dream in the first place. Artist Adrian Sanchez, currently incarcerated in a California institution for men, created The Process of Life as part of an arts program funded by a local congregation. He reflects, "I believe that our young ones begin life with innocent hearts. I have learned that there are better ways to do things without violence. We artists were asked to imagine what a city of compassion would look like and how the people there could cooperate so that everyone would have enough food. The process of life shows that there is pride and hope in carrying out positive ways of thinking about things like this." Sanchez's art reminds us of the power of dreams, that the chick became the rooster, that the whisper of the spirit can become a movement for transformation, that no gift is too small to help make God's dream a reality. Prayerfully consider, how can I cooperate to help make God's dream and my dream, too, a reality? People will only learn how to be generous if we teach them the spiritual practice of giving. Sharing your story of how you became more generous can inspire people in their own giving. Instead of focusing on the church's needs, we have to pay the light bill. Lift up the joy, meaning, and purpose that you find in generosity. Sharing how giving changes you helps people imagine what it can mean to their own lives, too. Thank you.
Because of your service, families gather in peace. Because of your courage, the next generation finds inspiration to serve. Because you defended our values, communities stand strong. Because of your dedication, hope rises for tomorrow. To every veteran here today, we thank you for your courage, your sacrifice, and our freedom.
It's hard to tell when this thing is on and when it is off. Please allow me a moment to encourage you to join the confirmation students and me to a hymn fest in an hour upstairs in the fireside room. I think Diane has printed about 30 copies of the program for the occasion. I know that Pastor Sue was very excited about what I had included there and kind of wishes she could be here. She's off visiting friends this week. So please consider that. If the confirmation students forgot and they're listening to this on the radio in an hour, they probably have about 7 minutes to get here for 10:15. Would all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The Lord be with you. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Bring forth in joyous song and sing praises.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the
people to the deadly.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Let us pray. God of all the living, in the resurrection of Christ Jesus, you have given us the promise of life, which death itself cannot destroy. In the strength of this unshakable promise, give us a new heart to live even now as your new creation. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The hymn is number 27. Let's join our voices together in From All That Dwells Below the Skies.
Praise arise. Alleluia, alleluia.
are called to examine our faithfulness to God's covenant with us. God, in whose presence we gather, promises us grace and pardon when we acknowledge our weakness and shame. Let us confess our sin to Almighty God. Let us pray. We live in you, the mystery of our being, which is beyond our understanding, yet revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. You are there underpinning our lives, offering to us all that we need to live well. All too often we grasp after our prosperity and our safety, building walls of self-sufficiency, storing great resources in the barns of our nation, finding the other and who threat to us. We fall into ways of war when your ways are of peace. On this day of remembrance, when we pay tribute to those who have given so much, when war became the way, we confess the faults of the nations who have gone the war and missed your ways of peace. Amen. Anyone in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with one another. Kate Hanke Gretz of the Lutheran Social Services Crisis Ministry is here with us today to share a few moments about their ministry. I understand that one of the women's groups is having a special offering. Did I hear that correctly? Okay. Kate.
Thank you for inviting me to talk with you today, and a special shout out to Betty Jo for inviting me. Betty Jo is one of our excellent volunteers that covers crisis nursery calls evenings and weekends. So, as the pastor said, I'm Kate Hanke Gretz, and I work for Lutheran Social Service Crisis Nursery. Lutheran Social Service's mission is to share the love of Christ with others and to help people lead full and abundant lives. The crisis nursery provides short-term child care, emergency child care when families are experiencing stress. And our main goal is to ensure child safety and promote child and family well-being. So we do a lot of things other than placements, but that's what we're mostly known for, is providing that short-term child care. And people can reach out to us and let us know that, you know, maybe they've got a job interview, they've got a doctor's appointment, they need a parenting break, that type of thing. And then I reach out to one of our 35 providers. We work with licensed family child care, center-based care, and foster care providers. Now, I would love to just talk a lot about the crisis nursery, but I understand I have about 3 minutes. So I will stick around afterwards and you know, answer your questions. I do have information out front on Lutheran Social Service and the crisis nursery. But just to give you a little bit of information on what kinds of services we might provide, we had a family call one time. Parents were attending college, and previous semesters, their schedules had been alternating, and so they hadn't need child care for their three-year-old son. But this semester, some of their classes overlapped. So we were able to provide care on that Tuesday and Thursday for the full semester. We found a provider that was available. We also had another family who had found a job, and she'd found child care for her kiddos, but she couldn't afford the deposits, the registration fees, and that was going to be about $1,000 for her three kiddos, just to get them started at a daycare center. And so I talked with the provider, and we ended up providing crisis nursery care. We paid for that provider to do the care for the first 2 weeks until mom got another paycheck, and then she was able to pay that deposit, and she had a program through the county that helped her with some of those ongoing child care costs. Another family, they were in a car accident at 2 o'clock in the morning. Their kiddos were fine, but the mom needed some medical procedures, and so I actually found a provider at 2 a.m. that was able to pick up the kids by 3, and she kept the kids until like about 8 o'clock that night when a relative could come and get them. The crisis nursery does a lot besides placements, as I mentioned earlier, and it's connecting families to resources. So during the day while that provider had the children, I was able to connect with an organization that provides free car seats because they couldn't use theirs anymore because of the car accident. Connected with another organization that gives away clothing and got clothing for the children. We happen to have some diapers and wipes from generous donations from churches and individuals. And so at about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I dropped off all those supplies at our providers in Waterville. And so when the relative picked up those kiddos, they had everything they needed to provide for those children until the mom was out of the hospital. So anyway, like I said, I would love to share more information about the crisis nursery with you. So please come talk with me out in your foyer area after the service today. Thank you.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15b through chapter 2, verse 9. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, The word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts."
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 98. You'll find a setting of that as a responsive reading about the third of the way down the second page of the bulletin. Let us join our hearts and our voices in responsively reciting the poetry of the psalmist. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made known his victory. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Bring forth his joyous song and
sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and the sound of the
lyre. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King. The Lord.
Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness.
And the peoples with equity.
Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning is from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification, by the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke, the 20th chapter. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died childless. Then the second, and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all things are alive." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Not my word, O God, but your word be preached in this time, in this place, for these your faithful people. Amen. When he finished high school, a cousin of mine decided that college wasn't for him, so he took up the skilled trade of tool and die making. He spent the years of his life working in one or another of my Connecticut hometown's brass mills and spent more evenings than he cares to remember in several of Waterbury's neighborhood bars and taverns. Most of these drinking establishments were quite peaceful places, patronized by hard-working toolmakers, machinists, and factory floor workers who took pride in their work and in the standard of living that their work provided for their families. One evening, at an East End bar, two inebriated patrons got into an argument over something or another while my cousin was there. One of them challenged the other to a fist fight, something rare at this pub. Out of the back door, everyone rushed out for the big fight. My cousin knew these two men well enough to chime in. "What were you guys fighting about anyway?" The bleary-eyed antagonists looked at each other and realized that neither of them could remember the issue over which they had exchanged heated words. Not even one punch had been thrown before everyone piled back into the bar to drink more beer. When we read gospel stories where the Sadducees play a part, it's something like that bar fight in the back parking lot that never happened. We have forgotten the issues over which they fought. Any records from the Sadducees about the things of Jewish faith most important to them has been lost to history. A small party to begin with, any influence they had in shaping Jewish life in Palestine was lost after the Roman Empire destroyed the Jerusalem temple in the year 70. After the temple no longer provided a focal point for Jewish life, other people defined what it meant to be a Jew, and the Sadducees played no role in shaping those practices. Any information we have about the Sadducees comes from people who did not like them very much. Imagine a history of Norwegian immigrants in America written by a Swedish immigrant who didn't like Norwegians. Or imagine a history of Roman Catholics in America written by a rabid anti-Catholic writer. We know that neither of these books would be accurate or helpful or fair to the people they describe. In a moment, we'll explore some of the ways in which the Sadducees disagreed with Jesus. When the gospel writers made the Sadducees the bad guy in their accounts of Jesus' life, they probably did this out of ignorance. They needed foils for Jesus in their stories, and in this story, and they included in some form in three of the four gospels, they were the perfect nemesis for Jesus. Many Sadducees who didn't go with this particular group to pick a fight with Jesus must have been embarrassed by this story of the question that their comrades asked. In the resurrection, they taunted Jesus, "Whose wife will the woman be?" The Sadducees asked Jesus a question so ridiculous that it allowed for no answer that was instructive or helpful. They wanted to trick Jesus and taunt him at the same time. They wanted to box the great teacher into a corner and make him look foolish. Yet even as Jesus sees this trap, avoids it, and responds with brilliant insight, we learn a few things about these Sadducees and their ideas of the future. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They held very closely to the law of Moses, so closely, in fact, that if a teaching was not explicitly sanctioned by the first five books of the Old Testament, it was not acceptable in the practice of their faith. The idea that all the faithful would rise from the dead as God ushered in his glorious new kingdom came very late to Jewish faith, not to the older books that set out the instruction they believed came from the lips of Moses. The only way a person could live on after death, the Sadducees taught, was through one's children, especially sons. Hence the question about this form of marriage, a form so ancient that it was outdated by the time of Jesus. If the older brother died, the younger brother was expected to marry his widow. In this way, the sons from the widow's marriage would be considered the children of the deceased older brother, and the older brother's good name would live on in his children. Luke's story about this quarrel between Jesus and the Sadducees became a conflict over their visions of the future. Sometimes, however, when we look only at disagreements, we forget the many places where people agree on some very important things. So many folks today invest a great deal of energy into how public schools should be funded, overseen, and evaluated. Some want the states to pick up more of the cost of publication, of education, or even all of it. Others believe that the states should favor smaller schools in declining areas where the number of students has gone down. Much of what we hear on the news has to do with our public schools, how to recruit teachers, how to pay them, how to evaluate them, and what other professional people our schools need. You know all these things because you listen to the news. Yet while we fuss so much about our schools, very few people have suggested that we get rid of schools and allow our children to go without learning to read or do math. We forget the broad agreement we have in this country that we need schools and that children need to go to school as part of their preparation to become well-informed, productive adults. We may disagree over the qualities that make for a good judge, but we know that we need good judges in our courtrooms, and we shudder at the results when we see countries that don't have good judges in their courts of law. When we read today's gospel passage, we focus so much on the conflicts in this absurd question over seven husbands for this one woman that we overlook those things on which Jesus and the Sadducees agreed. Both Jesus and the Sadducees believed that the future was important. God's good future merits our attention, care, and a good portion of the best we have to offer. Jesus taught that our whole lives should point to the glorious future in God's kingdom. The Sadducees taught that our good names live on in our offspring after our deaths. We should not underestimate the conflict in today's story, but I'm concerned that we forget one thing on which they agreed. The future is important, and preparing for it is vital. A few years ago, Stephen Colbert bellowed away at some length on his comedy show about why he didn't need one of those newfangled retirement accounts. He didn't need an IRA, he hollered. With confidence in his voice, he told his viewers what he expected to take care of him in his old age: the rapture. Sometimes I think we've created a society where we expect the rapture to take care of our families so that we don't have to. Household credit card debt has mushroomed. Millions of families find themselves unable to make anything more than the minimum payments each month, offering the prospect of walking on a treadmill of debt for years. Many of this country's large commercial banks aggressively push credit cards on people with poor credit histories, ushering people with poor judgment and little sophistication onto this treadmill of debt. The conflict over global warming sets before us competing visions on how to be stewards of the good earth God gave us. But it's also a quarrel about the quality of this planet's future. Casinos and state lotteries promise elusive riches in two ways: a windfall for the gambler and millions for state governments so that we can have streets, parks, and well-managed herds of deer for hunting without paying for them with higher taxes. It's not just a matter of the bills coming due, although they will. It's also a matter of being dishonest with ourselves and with God. When we turn a blind eye to the future, we become poor stewards of the world God created and the gift of time he gives us. We pretend the future doesn't matter, and we bequeath to our children some crushing bills to pay and a world far different from the one in which God intended for us and for those children. When we pretend that the days to come don't matter, we build barriers that separate us from the God who loves us in Jesus Christ, and we build barriers to each other. Act like there's no future to worry about, and we find ourselves in lonely islands full of possessions and separated from each other. Please don't get me wrong. I cherish the gift of living in the present. Once I ran across the story of a woman who left to Columbia University and a fortune in stocks she had shrewdly purchased and traded over many years, and yet could never bring herself to buy clothes at any place other than the Salvation Army thrift store. The story horrified me. God would have celebrated with her if she took a sliver of that fortune and bought herself some nice new clothes. And God smiles on us when we enjoy life in the here and now, as long as we find ways to give with generous hearts and an eye toward the good future he sets before us. The Sadducees asked Jesus a trick question, an absurd problem that offered no good answer on its own terms. It comes from a strange world of marriages intended to preserve one's good name, a long-lost group of religious leaders, and a conflict that is no longer our conflict. Yet if we look underneath the quarrel between Jesus and the Sadducees, we can find a place of agreement that led them to put so much energy into their arguments. Whatever form the future may take, the future is a gift, an important gift, from the God who loves us. It deserves our careful preparation, a portion of our best attention and energy, and good stewardship of God's wonderful creation. As we depend on God for the gifts of life and all that sustains it, may we have the wisdom to take care of all the good things he sets before us now. Amen. At this time, we are going to celebrate the veterans who worship and praise God and serve God among us in this community, and we will have a short prayer afterward. Brian will be reading their names as the... His wife will be reading the names as the slides are shown. I wish the radio people could see all of this.
Amundson, Glendon Brown,
oh beautiful,
Paul Brown,
for hero proof,
Richard Christinger,
in liberating stride,
Kevin Cronk, Dale Family,
their country love,
Lyle Family,
Mercy Morning Line,
Zeb Brownies,
it's America,
Roger Grimmelman,
sweet America.
Daryl Helberg.
Dick
Hale. Charles Kraler.
Success.
Stuart Kringen.
The nobleness.
Roger Lammers. George Lindemann.
When I was a little boy, we always sang these words.
John Lave.
Oh, beautiful.
Orville Lave.
Prosperous skies.
Jake Leaders and Vic Leaders. Terry Meyer. Al Mollenhauer, Gail Mueller, Rick Mueller, Jerry Nagel, Richard Moosemeyer, Carl Moosemeyer, Dr. Floyd Osborne, Ivan Redeman, Roger Reinhardt, Vic Roloff, Bob Schley, Hilton Schlute, Butch Schutte, Donald Schwartz, Raymond Sinnell, Shane Sinnell. Chrissy Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan. Lyle Wagner. Merlin Zebar. Stanley Zebar.
Let us pray. Lord of all, you long for a time when all nations will be ruled with justice and a world where everyone lives in safety and harmony. Until that time when swords are beaten into plowshares and the wolf and the lamb eat together, we give thanks for veterans who have served our country with honor and courage. We remember the sacrifices made by members of the military and their families. We know that they endured long seasons apart from loved ones, the disruption of moves and deployments, the stress of being sent to regions engulfed by violence, the repercussions of physical, spiritual, and moral injuries. Where the pain of those injuries persists, bring healing. Where memories of that trauma are harrowing, grant relief. Where the grief of those losses threatens to overwhelm, grant hope. We pray, gracious God, for an end to war and for the new earth where there will be no need for military might. But now we ask your blessing upon our veterans and those closest to them, that they may know the gift of your presence and the peace that passes understanding. Amen. We neglected to sing a hymn, and that was on me. Let's turn to the inserts in your bulletin and stand and sing Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Who bids the mighty
invite you to be seated. We have a few requests that have come to us for prayers. First of all, Susan Felnley has a birthday around about now. Would you raise your hand? Congratulations. Don't look a day over 39. When's your birthday? Today? Okay. Congratulations. We've had a prayer for healing for Andy Putlin, is it? Did I get that correct? Putton. Oh, yeah, there is a T in that line. And also healing prayers for Kevin Savage, who is recovering from surgery. Let us pray. O God of love, we are wayfarers in the world, prone to erratic changes of course, to losing sight of our goals, to becoming so discouraged by the journey that we will hitch a ride on anything that comes along. Help us on our way, O God. If we change our course, let it not be in self-interest, but in order to share the love of Christ with another sojourner. If we lose sight of our goals, let our quest bring us, as your curious people, to honest searching of our faith. If we become weary and discouraged and forget you are with us, let it lead to recognition of our need for you. As we travel in a world that sometimes seems a trackless, hostile wilderness, we ask that your Spirit sustain, encourage, and enable us to go on. Compassionate God, hope of the humble and refuge of the needy, hear us once again as we turn to you with our concerns for others. We pray for those who are sick or injured, who look toward surgery or recover from it, especially our brothers Andy Putton and Kevin Savage. May they and their loved ones be witness to your healing power. We pray for those who grieve as a loved one has died, that they would know in this tender moment your love most keenly. We pray for all who suffer, known or unknown to us, and ask that new meaning be found for the things which must be endured. Look upon these people with your love and care, O God, that they and we together would sing praises to your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who taught us boldly to pray these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's Church. Thank you.
blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Meet Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Loving God, we bring to you our gifts according to the ways in which we have prospered under your care. Follow these gifts with your blessing, that they would be used to share